Let me tell you before I get started tonight about a new series I'm going to start on Sunday, a new teaching series. And we are leading up to our anniversary service, our Jubilee service. I've been in a teaching called Unsung Heroes of the Old Testament, and hope you enjoyed that. We had a good time learning about some people you'd never heard of before. Didn't even know how to you come here, wouldn't know how to pronounce their names, and we learned some lessons from their lives, didn't we? Amen. Let me tell you where we're going next. Would you like to know? Be good to know what's going to come up, huh? Starting Sunday, I'm going to start a series called Sunday School Lessons for Real Life. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the Sunday school lessons you learned when you were a child in Sunday school, and we're going to see some applications there, not just for third graders and fifth graders and eighth graders, but for real, honest to God, daily living. And Sunday, we're going to start with Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Anybody remember that song? Am I singing it right? He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see what for the Lord he wanted to see. So I got to learn how to sing the song between now and Sunday. And Jesus came and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there because I'm going to your house today. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to give you one hint. Jesus writes his own invitations. So Sunday we're going to be talking about Sunday school lessons for real life. But tonight I want you to go with me to Luke chapter number 8. And I want to take a few minutes to share with you about an issue of communicating with God. One that is important to our lives. As believers, we believe that God is intrinsically involved in the life of His children. We believe that God is alive, and we believe that He wants to have a relationship with us. In fact, you know, this past Sunday, we celebrated resurrection, and we celebrated life, and we recognize that our salvation is based on the relationship we have with God. But you cannot have a relationship with anyone without communication, can you? In fact, if you were to go back and look at the Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel, one thing you would learn is that that whole thing broke down because of one reason, because of lack of communication. Their progress and their efforts were stymied because they could no longer understand one another. There was no communication. And so we understand that a very important key for us is to be productive. You have to be able to communicate. This applies in every arena of life. It applies in marriages. It applies in the workplace. It applies in friendships and families and business partnerships. And it applies in your relationship with God. If we're going to be productive citizens of God's kingdom, we've got to be able to communicate. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the part of communication that most of us don't always excel. I won't say most of us, but some of us excel at less than others. And that is the listening part of communication. Some of us are better at the talking part than at the listening part. Some of us don't have to take lessons in the talking part. But in Luke chapter 8, I want you to look with me at a lesson that Jesus gives to His disciples that I think is very applicable and very important to us. In Luke chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 4, it says, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to Him, He spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As He said these things, He would call out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to notice that last phrase again. It says, as He said this, or as He taught these things, He would call out, indicating on more than one occasion, He would say, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's interesting. This is one of the parables that Jesus explained. Not all of them did He explain, but this one He did. And it says a little bit further in verse number 9, it says his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has not been but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And he goes on to explain in verse number 11, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. That's a very important key for us. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And those have no firm root. They believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones which have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. No one, he says, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. And look at really closely at verse 18, because this is where I'm trying to get to. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. I guess the point I want you to see is that two times in this brief story at least, and perhaps even more, but two times recorded, it says Jesus said, be careful how you listen. Pay attention to how you listen. If you have ears, listen well. It said earlier in verse number 8, it said, as he said these things, he would call out, as if he was saying this, hey guys, make sure you get this. Pay attention to this. Listen to this. Jesus wants to make sure that we get the listening part of communication down. So tonight we're going to talk about how to listen to God's voice. Isn't that a good topic? How to listen to God's voice. And I'm going to take this parable that he gave to us, because he told us to be careful how we listen. He encouraged us to listen. And I'm going to show you some ways that people listen. I think he outlined four ways that people listen. And we're going to see how they listen, study them, and figure out for ourselves if maybe we can do a little better job in the communication aspect on the listening end. So pray with me as we begin. Father, we honor your name. We thank you for who you are. Lord, as we have worshiped you, we have sung your praises. We've done our talking. But now, Lord, we quiet ourselves that we can do the listening. We ask you to speak. We say, as Samuel did, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We open our ears that you might pierce our hearts with your truth, and that we might not just be hearers, but those who can do what we're told. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about four ways that people listen, and we're going to talk about it from these four levels, or these four examples he gave. Back in verse number 5, it says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And my first point would be is that some people don't listen at all. They just don't listen. It says that he sowed beside the road. Another translation said sowed on the road. Obviously, it was close enough to the road that people's feet would walk on it. You know, and generally people walk on the road. And so we know that right there on the roadside it was sowed. And guys, this is like trying to go out and sow seeds in a parking lot. You know, just trying to plant corn on I-49. You know, you're going to have a tough time rowing that hoe, let me tell you, if you try to plant corn on pavement. Some people will not listen. I heard a funny story. Don't know if it's true. You know how some of these stories are. You don't know. But I heard that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of our presidents, He was a president for a long time. In fact, he was a president, the longest president we've ever had. And because of him, we only let him be president for two terms. Not that we got tired of him or anything, but he was there a long time. And he did a lot of good for our country and led us through some difficult times. But he wasn't really one for pomp and circumstance. He kind of got bored with the state dinners that they had to have. And the story goes that he would get so bored of those receiving lines. You know, you'd stand in those receiving lines and you'd say something to the people and shake their hands and they say, you know, they nod their heads and everybody keep on going. So he decided one day to figure out if people were listening to him or not. And he decides that he's going to say something kind of off the wall. So that night of the receiving line, the state dinner, people were coming through the line and he'd reach out his hand and he'd say, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And you know what they'd say in response? Oh, how nice. How lovely. Yes. Good to see you too, sir. You know, because people were so caught up in their moment that they were so caught up in what they wanted to say to him, or they were so caught up, you know, because if you've ever been through any kind of receiving line, your whole time you're thinking, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? I want to make sure I say it just right. And so they're so focused on the event and what they're going to say, they didn't hear the man once what he said. So a few more folks come through and he just over and over, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Oh, wonderful, sir, to see you. You look splendid. Everything went well until a foreign diplomat came through who, English was his second language, so he had to make sure he listened. And when the president said, I murdered my grandmother this morning, the foreign diplomat stopped, looked at him, and said, well, I'm sure she deserved it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it may not be. I don't know. But I guarantee you they've done some crazy things like that in those receiving lines. Every Thursday morning at chapel service at Grace Christian School, I stand by the door and shake 200 some odd hands of these kids as they come through. And I try to make it unique for every one of them. But you can't come up with 250 unique statements. Yeah. So what I do is I'll say, see you later. Goodbye. Adios, sayonara, hasta la vista, arrivederci, toodaloo, see you later, goodbye, adios, arrivederci, toodaloo, and you know, make sure they get far enough along that they can't hear me starting over. This is an important point, though. Some people won't listen. And that's what Jesus is saying. When it comes to hearing his voice, some people have decided that they're not going to listen. Their hearts are closed. Their ears are closed, and there are even times, I think, in our lives that we just close our ears. God wants to speak, and our minds are closed, our hearts are hardened, our wills refuse, we're unwilling to listen. I think there's a couple of reasons that we and others won't listen to God. Let me just give you two common reasons that people sometimes, I think, fall in the category of choosing to not listen. One of those is the issue of pride. You know, when we think we've got it under control, why do we need to listen? Right? When we think we've got the answer, why do we need anybody to tell us what to do? And so this is one way that we can fall into that first category of the word falling on hard hearts. When we think we've got the answers, when we think I don't need God, when we think I can do it on my own, when we think I know enough, or God forbid we say I know it all, I can handle this. I don't need any help. I can resolve this. I can fix this. All of these statements are statements of pride, I think, will keep us from hearing God and hearing His voice. Another thing, though, that will keep us from hearing God's voice, won't keep anyone from hearing God's voice, and that closes our ears, is bitterness. Is bitterness. What happens is that we get hurt. And whenever we get hurt, we have a choice. You've heard me say this before. You've probably heard other people say it before. It's not original with me. We can get bitter or better. And too many times, the choice of some people is to get bitter. People choose bitterness, and when they do that, they stop listening. Why? Because when we get hurt, we build walls. When we get hurt, we decide that we've got to put our defenses up. When we get hurt, we feel like we've got to hide in a shell. And we say things like, nobody's ever going to hurt me again. Nobody's ever going to get to me. I'm not going to let anybody get that close. Well, when we do that and we start building those walls, we start closing our ears. And, you know, some folks even blame God, stop listening to Him. One of the things that I've impressed with Job, is that when you look at his life and you look at the things that he went through, you realize he never turned his back on God. As horrific as things were, he was always ready to listen. Because when God spoke, he shut his mouth. Throughout that whole process, in fact, it looks as if, you know, I know there were some times that he wanted to justify himself to his friends because the attacks were so hard. But what you see in there is a man who's constantly, who appears to be saying what he said at the very beginning. And we've talked about this recently. This past Sunday we mentioned, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know one day he's going to speak. One day I'll see him. My eyes will see him when he takes his stand on this earth. And so I appreciate that about him, that he chose not to get bitter. He was always ready to listen to God. But those are a couple of things that can cause people to not listen. Pride, bitterness. I'm sure there's lots of others, but for the sake of time, let's go on to the second way that people listen. One is they don't listen at all. The second one is they listen, but they forget. Look at chapter 8, verse number 6. It says in verse 6, on the other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. These are people who plant gardens in a gravel pit. Now, they're not planting it on I-49, but now they're in a gravel pit. I've seen pictures of Arizona, Gary. I know you used to live there. And it's hard to grow grass out there, isn't it? Unless you want to have a very high water bill. And so I've seen pictures of people that decide to make rock gardens, and their whole yard is, some folks will even pave their yard with with concrete and stain it green. But you know what? You cannot grow a very productive garden in a gravel pit. Some things will grow for a little bit when there's a little bit of moisture that hits it, just like you can take some seeds and lay them on a wet paper towel and they'll begin to grow. But if there's no soil there, if there's nothing for the roots to get into, if they don't have a strong root system, they will not last. And here's what I want to say. Shallow soil makes weak plants. And the correlation is that shallow hearers make weak believers. You probably had an experience that we have some rocks out here in the front of the church on some of these areas, and there's times that a plant will shoot up out of there. You know, you can walk by and just grab that thing by the roots and just pull it right up. There's nothing for it to hold on to. There's nothing for its roots to get to. Underneath that rock garden out there, we've got plastic underneath it. So there's no way that the roots can get through that plastic and get into the soil where it can really get rooted and really get strong and really get firm. A shallow hearer makes a weak believer, just like a shallow soil makes weak plants. And so we're called to study the Word of God. We're called to meditate on the Word of God. We're called to put into practice the things that we learn. In fact, I think I quoted it this a while ago, but James 1:22 is a verse you ought to underline or highlight or mark or somehow know, because it says that we are not just to be hearers, but we are to be doers. In James chapter number 1, let's go ahead and take a look at it. Keep your place in Luke 8 because we're going to be right back there. But James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." You know, it's not too hard to delude ourselves, to trick ourselves into thinking everything's okay. I'm one of those guys who sometimes, I'm going to be real careful here. I don't want to give too much ammunition. But you know what they say the road to hell is paved with? Good intentions. Sometimes my good intentions, I delude myself. But I was planning to, I was going to, I was thinking about it, or the old classic Southern line, I was fixing to. Well, we don't need to be planning to, going to, or fixing to. We need to be doing. That's what he says. And so we need to prove ourselves, demonstrate ourselves to be doers of God's Word. I read that a U.S. Air Force study said that let's see if I can get the numbers right. I believe it was within 72 hours of hearing something, Most people forget between 90 and 95% of what they heard within 72 hours, within 3 days. I don't doubt it because there's been many times I can't remember what I preached on last Sunday. You think you can't remember what I preached on last Sunday? The difference is the way that I can remember is because I wrote it down. So I have a better memory about some of the things. And that's my point. I say that people forget. They listen, but they forget. But if we want to prove ourselves doers, one way that we can solve that is by writing things down. So that's one of the reasons I encourage you to take notes. One of the reasons we put notes up. I didn't give Faith my notes tonight. Normally I do. but I was running a little late getting all that together. But, you know, I encourage you. I see Tina over there. Got a notebook out. Taking notes. I guarantee you that the shortest pencil can help you remember more than the longest memory. How do you like that? That's pretty good, wasn't it? The shortest pencil will remember more than the longest memory because you can write something down with it. So let's don't be like those who listen but forget. Let's write it down. When God gives you a revelation or an insight, write it down. Commit it, you know, keep you a notepad somewhere handy, a piece of paper, some business card. My dad always carried around business cards on the back of his business cards. Well, his pocket would be full of business cards with notes on the back of them. Sometimes I'd go into his office and there'd be business cards all over his office with a verse. I walk in, now I couldn't read his handwriting all the time, but I think that was his cryptic way, his training in cryptology. Brother Buddy, I'm just picking at you. I know he's watching this. But you know, he would have a little saying that God would give him or a little thought or an insight. He'd write it down. And so I think this is one way that we can make sure that we don't be like the people who listen but forget. We can be like those who remember, who, you know, as we study, that's one of the reasons we do the whole Gems for Jesus. Guys, the Gems for Jesus diary is not a magic anything. But if you write something down, you have a better chance of retaining that and then probably of doing that. So, some people listen but forget. Some people don't listen at all. Here's a sad point, though. As we come to our third one, is that some people listen, but it's not important. Back in Luke chapter number 8, we find in verse number 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. You see, they planted seeds in the briar patch, and in the briar patch there's too much competition to survive. In the briar patch, there's too much competition. They planted seeds, but the weeds took priority. The Alexander Police Department had a program a little while back called the Weed and Seed Program. They wanted to weed some things out and seed some things in. Well, in this illustration that Jesus gives, people listened, but their minds were so crowded with so many other thoughts. Crowded with so many things, so preoccupied, so distracted, so concerned with daily living and worries and plans and goals and ambitions and bills and all kinds of things, that there just wasn't room. There just wasn't room. The competition was too fierce. So I want to give you three things that I think can preoccupy our minds, that I think that are these weeds, that these thorns, these competitions that grow up and choke out and that dominate our thinking, they preoccupy us. Number one is worries. I'll tell you something. You can't listen to God and worry at the same time. In fact, if you're worrying right now, you're not listening to Him. So stop worrying and start listening to Him. It's interesting that the Greek word for worry is a word picture. And it's a picture of someone being pulled in different directions. Have you ever felt that way? Come on, just be real. Have you ever felt like you just didn't know? I mean, That picture there has a picture of division, of parting. The root word is a word that even has to do with parting and inheritance or dividing. But there's a picture there of being pulled in different directions. And when we're worried, that's what's going on. I'm not dancing, y'all. Trust me. It's not a pretty sight. I'm just, no. Okay. That's it. But have you ever, I don't remember what that little toy was called, but there used to be a toy when we were younger that you could pull its legs and you could pull its arms and all these crazy long shapes. What was that called? Stretch Armstrong. Yeah. Of course, in every family, everybody knew somebody who had to pull it enough to see if they could pull it apart, right? I bet John did that, didn't you, John? Yeah, he's nodding his head. I don't know. Did you really? Oh! I was just picking. But you know, that's what happens. We're like that. This is one of the things that keeps us from hearing, because yes, we desire, we long to hear God's word, but these crazy things, these worries, these cares, these anxieties have got us pulled in all kinds of directions, and you cannot go in the right direction when you're preoccupied and distracted and pulled in every direction. And so this is one thing, this is one of the reasons Jesus says, we talked about it. Who did I talk about Monday night in our Old Testament survey class? Was it Brother Ed? Were we talking about that? There you are. But yeah, you can't make yourself any taller by worrying about it. Now you can make yourself fatter because you'll be eating a lot of ice cream, you know, comfort foods. But Jesus didn't say you can't make yourself fatter. He said you can't make yourself taller, right? He said you can't add any length to your life by worrying about it. And so you need to let this go. You need to let it go. God's talking to somebody right now. Something has been having you doing this, and it's y'all are laughing at me. Am I a funny Stretch Armstrong? Okay. Would you like me to stop reading your mail? You guys are grinning too much. Well, maybe you'll like my next point. My next thing that preoccupies our minds is money. You want some of that? When I was in high school, we sang a song. I was in a choir group. We had a chorale, which was the big choir, and then we had a chamber chorus. And the chamber chorus would sing, you know, highfalutin music. But then every now and then he'd let us sing something fun. And we sang a song one time I love. To this day, I'll sing it whenever I get the chance. It goes like this. Money, 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 money makes me feel good. I have a need for it that's misunderstood. I'd like to give it to a charity, write out a check to little old me. You like that song? Look, guys, our minds can get preoccupied with money. We can be so preoccupied with not having enough or having too much. I don't know too many people that have that problem, but there are some who have that problem. You know, I remember talking to somebody one time who was telling me what a burden it was to have too much money. Because you see, the FDIC insurance only goes up to $100,000. The bank only insures your money up to $100,000. If you have any losses over that and the bank goes out of business, you may have $5 million in the bank goes out of business, the government's only going to give, the insurance is only going to give you back $100,000. I'm thinking to myself, if I had that kind of problem, I think I could drive to five or six different banks. I mean, I could just drive around. I got enough money for the gas, even if it is $14 a gallon, you know, or it feels like it, right? But people can get, we get preoccupied with money. If I have it, how do I keep it? If I don't have it, how do I get it? How do I spend it? How do I manage it? You know what's interesting? Jesus talked about money more than just about anything else, because we think about it all the time. He knows it's a worry of ours. What did he say about it? Well, he did. Yeah, he said that through the Apostle Paul. The love of money is the root of all evil. He also said, don't worry about it. In fact, he said, give it away. You know what? It's a problem for you because you're hanging on to it too tight. Just give it away. Live your life with an open hand. When you go out traveling around, he said, don't grab a bunch of, you know, don't get an extra thick wallet when you're traveling around. Don't worry about all the stuff that's around you. Your Father, who gives food to the sparrows and clothes to the lilies, will take care of you. So that's another one. And then so we have worries that preoccupy our mind. We have money that crowds out the things of God. And then we have busyness. We are so busy making a living that we don't really live. We keep so busy that we don't have time to relax. Let me tell you something. Relaxing is part of God's design for you. God designed you for rest, to need rest. God designed you. In fact, He directed you in the very beginning that you need to rest at least a seventh of the week. And that's on top of the 8 hours of sleep you need every night. on top of a third of your daily living, he wanted a whole seventh of the week for you to be involved in rest. But you know what? Ever since Thomas Edison came up with that crazy idea of a light bulb, we've been invading the night. Seemed like a good idea at the time, but we run. And we fill our lives with so many things. And when we get up in the morning, we run all day. We go to bed exhausted. We're so whooped, we can barely fall asleep. Then we get up and we get going again. And God gets whatever leftovers we can scrape over into His direction. And we're so preoccupied with doing that we forget God and we wonder, why can't I hear His voice? Well, it's because it's not important. Brother Buddy said this, people do what's important to them. Obviously, eating's important to me. We do what's important. And so, there's a competition for God's Word. There are things that crowd in, that grow up, that try to press out God's Word. Worries, money, busyness, and there's lots of other things that you can think of. So we've talked about four ways that people listen. One, people don't listen at all. Two, people listen but forget. Number three, some people listen but it's not important. And then number four, some people listen and hear. In chapter 8, verse number 8, it says, other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Their seed is in good soil. I want to tell you something. God talks to people who open their ears to hear. He really does. He talks to people who want to listen. John chapter 10 said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, in another place, he said, my sheep know my voice. But I love that. I was looking at that again today. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's John 10:27. Write it down. Put a star by it. Underline it. Take your short pencil, because your short pencil will remember more than your long memory will, right? Write it down. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. God is willing to talk to us. In fact, He longs to talk to us. He desires to speak to us. The question is, am I receptive? Is my soul good soil? Is my soul ready and willing to listen to God? I've shared this little illustration with you a long time ago, but since you didn't write it down, you've probably forgotten it, so I can use it again. That was almost an evil laugh, wasn't it? I can't do one of those. It's just not in me. But the story goes that a country boy went to visit his cousin in the city. And while they're there in the city, standing on a street corner with all the noise of everything going around, the country boy said to his cousin, I hear a cricket. Oh, you don't hear a cricket. That's probably just some brake hub squealing or some door whenever it opens and closes chirping or some window pane rattling. There's no way. No, I'm telling you, I hear a cricket. And he walked over and sure enough, in this planter with this big tree and these plants, in that planter was a cricket. And the city boy said, how on earth did you hear that cricket with the taxis and the footsteps and the people all around you with everything going on? You must have superhuman ears. And he said, no, my ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for. What are we listening for? Now, he had trained his ears. My wife bought me a clock for my birthday. And I'm going to tell you what, it's got some beautiful sounds on it. You push one button and you can listen to the waves come in. Till you think you're going insane. So I didn't listen to that one. Then they got another one. It's got raindrops falling. Raindrops. The only problem with the raindrop falling sound on the clock that she bought me is that it repeats every 13 seconds. The reason I know that is I laid there listening and kept hearing the repeating sounds in there. And now I can't listen to it anymore because all I hear is 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 5, 13, 12. I hear the repeat. But it's got a nighttime sound, a jungle sound with crickets. And I can put that thing on, and I hadn't figured out the repeat yet. It's got some randomizer in it that defies. There's another one in there. It's got a second, 7 second repeat. I can't listen to that one at all. I mean, every 7 seconds it starts over. I just, no! But this one, it's got that random, randomizer to it. It's so relaxing and so wonderful. And I'm not even sure why I'm telling you this story. It has nothing to do with anything. Other than it's got crickets in it. And I guess I'm training my ears to hear crickets. So next time I'm in New York City, maybe I'll hear a cricket in a planter. Well, how about this? Is my ear trained to hear His voice? Am I ready? Am I making my soil prepared to hear His voice? What are you, let me ask you this question. What are you listening for? What are you listening for? What did you come tonight to hear? If you came to hear some eloquent, highly Oxford-trained ballerina dancing spokesperson, you're just not going to hear it. If you came to hear Nathan, you're not going to hear it. What are you listening for? When you open the Scriptures, what are you listening for? When you plug in a CD or turn on a tape, what are you listening for? When you drive down the road and your heart's just fellowshipping, what are you listening for? What are our ears listening for? Are we looking for the eyes of Jesus when we look at this book? Do we have our ears ready? I believe God wants to speak to you. And so people listen four ways. Well, the first one is they don't listen at all. The second one is they listen, but they forget. The third one is they listen, but it's not important. The fourth one is they listen and they hear. Jesus said, take care how you listen. Be careful. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, I thank you tonight that you are training our ears to hear your voice. And I pray, Lord, that this day we would hear, we would listen to your voice. Lord, let us not ignore you. Let us not listen to you and forget what you said. Lord, don't let us crowd out your words in our life. Let us receive your words with our whole heart. Help us to become doers of that word that we might truly please you. In Jesus' name, amen.